thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Carry on into the message, and it's a simple message this morning, the building blocks of obedience. And it's very important that whenever we talk about mission, we talk about the reservoir, we talk about ourselves being filled to overflowing and flowing out into the community. It's very important that we, as individual Christians, that we are walking in obedience, that we have the building blocks of obedience in our lives. And so it's a very simple thing, and many of you, if not all of you, will be participating in these five things. This is not an exhaustive list, far from it, but the five building blocks of obedience that I want to touch on this morning, and we've already participated in communion. Communion is where we remember his cost. We're going to look at baptism, where we are remembering his compliance. Tithing, remembering his contribution. Membership, remembering his community. And evangelism, remembering his command. And these commands are all backed up by Scripture. When we think of communion, of course, we have that beautiful words of Jesus. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me," when he met the disciples in the upper room when he instituted the Lord's Supper. And of course, we think of those words, "Go into all the world and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We think of when Scripture in Corinthians tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we hear in Hebrews, where the writer there says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And then we think of that exhortation that Paul gave to Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." And so, folks, this is just a few simple building blocks, because we need to be right. We need to be right in our spirits. We need to be right in our walk with God. We need to be obedient. You know, how does revival happen? Any of the revivals, the great revivals that have happened, if you study church history and you church revivals, it happens when individuals begin to repent and begin to come before the Lord in prayer and empty themselves so that they are filled, and then revival can begin. Just would like to ask Dave if he'll play a little short video, please, at this point.
Think about the thief on the cross. I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, "How did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You've never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet, you made it. You made it. How did you make it?" That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, "What are you doing here?" "Well, I don't know." What do you mean you don't know?" "Well, because I don't know." "Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor." "I'll get the supervisor in here." "So, wait, just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith?" "The guy said, I've never heard of it in my life." And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just there. And eventually, in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here?" And he said, "The man on the middle cross said, I can come." Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer.
Thanks, Dave. I don't know if you caught the very start of that, but that was referring to the thief on the cross. I've listened to that video and watched it quite a few times. Thanks, Drew, for sending that to me. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. He didn't become a member of a church. He didn't participate in communion. The only part of evangelism that he did was that he spoke to, I don't know if it was a colleague or a friend or somebody who he didn't know, the man on the other cross, the other thief. He didn't give in to the church. He didn't give towards the Lord's work. And yet he got to heaven. Because the man on the middle cross told him that he could come. However, we're not in that situation. And Desi, I loved what you said, that prayer and God's word are fundamental to this church moving on and to any church moving on and to church revival. Because prayer and God's word, they're the foundation for the building blocks of obedience. Because if we're not reading and we're not praying on a regular basis, then we're spiritually dead. Of course, Jesus is our ultimate role model in all things. Jesus celebrated the Passover, which is the forerunner of communion. He was obedient to the law and he was baptized, even though John the Baptist tried to stop him. He paid his taxes. Do you remember? He said, Peter, go and hook out a fish and open that fish's mouth and you'll find a 4-drachma coin. Go and pay my tax and yours. And I'm 100% sure that Jesus would have paid his tithe into the synagogue. He went to his local synagogue to worship God, and he never stopped sharing the gospel. Now, I'm going to be quick here because I'm conscious of time. It's really important that Esther and Desi shared this morning. As I say, it's going to be really simple. So we have participated already in communion this morning. Johnny talked about freedom. I think of a time when I went to see a guy in the Mays prison many, many years ago. This young man had been a member of the UDR, but that wasn't just enough for him. He then was part of a prescribed organization, an illegal organization, and he was caught and he was sentenced and he found himself in prison, and it was within prison that he got saved. I think of Reinhard Bonnke, and I think we told the story a few weeks ago how he was in prison visiting people, and the hangman was due to come and hang these group of men. There was a man called Richard, and three times the hangman came every month, and yet this man Richard was next in line and was not hung, and yet that man Richard became a pastor. That young man in the Mays prison is now a full-time pastor. I think of people who are in prison, yet because they have found the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in freedom. With our business connections in a life gone by, we would have met some of the wealthiest people within Northern Ireland. We had been in some of their homes. Some of the wealthiest and most privileged and most influential people in Northern Ireland. And yet they weren't in freedom because they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. This table is a place of love and acceptance. It's a place of understanding and forgiveness. It's a place of reassurance. It's a beautiful table, and God wants us to have a beautiful experience each and every time we meet him. This great table is a place of comfort. It's a place of consecration. It's a place of confession. It's a table of company, and it's a space for communion with Almighty God. When we come to the table, we look back in thankfulness. We look back to the night in which Jesus was betrayed. We look up in worship, and we worship him for giving his life to us. We look in repentance, and we say, Lord, if there's anything that I've done, anything that I've said, anything that is wrong, will you forgive me before I participate in the emblems? We look around in fellowship. If you look around, you're with like-minded people. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we're different in many respects, but we follow the same Lord. And then we look out and witness, don't we? And we look forward in anticipation. Just very quickly running on through that baptism is remembering the Lord's compliance. Now, this is not Noah. He didn't end up like this last night, just in case you think that that was him. It was such a privilege to be there last night for Esther and myself and a few other church members, just to be with Liam and Adele and Celia, just to stand side by side with Noah and to cheer him on as he walked into the water and as he became obedient. It was another building block of obedience in Noah's life. It was a public demonstration and declaration, of course, which what baptism is. It declares something that has personally happened within our lives, where we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so, folks, we are going to hold a baptismal service. It's most likely going to be September. If it's any earlier than that, we will announce it. However, it could be that perhaps some of you might want to be baptized in the sea. And if you do, then we will endeavor to put on a baptismal service during the summer. So do feel free to speak to myself or some of the elders at some stage if that's something that you would prefer to do. However, we will be holding a baptismal service here in the church in September. Again, I'm only skimming over these points, folks, that you know, each one is a message in its own right. When we think of tithing, we think of remembering his contribution. And of course, the contribution that Jesus made, he gave his all for us, didn't he? He gave everything. And so we need to honor him with the first fruits of our income. And that's 10% of our gross income before tax. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And just to leave with you three very, very brief points. You know that we don't beg for money. You know we're not like that in this church. It's right that we teach on it. And at some stage we might teach in depth. But the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And so there's thankfulness and there's taxes and there's technology. And just very briefly to leave those with you that we need to give with a heart of thankfulness. We don't and we shouldn't give begrudgingly. And if we give generously, then the Lord will also bless us generously because that is a spiritual principle. And then just on taxes, if you are a taxpayer, then you can go on the gift aid scheme. That means that the government will refund the tax that you have paid. Phil, our treasurer, if you speak to him, he's normally the drummer. He was on the guitar this morning, but Phil looks after all of the finances here. And if you are a taxpayer, then if you tithe into the church, then there's a rebate that can be got back from the government. And that loophole, that ability to do that will not stay forever. And then there's technology. And when I say that, a lot of things are done with online banking today. And it's very easy if you want our bank account details of the church here, we can give them to you and you can tithe online. It is actually handier for the church because then we don't need as many counters. We don't need account money. We don't need the lodge money, et cetera, et cetera. But that's just to throw that out there, that these are the building blocks of obedience, that we obey the Lord and we partake in the Lord's Supper, that we obey the Lord, that we go through the waters of baptism, that we are obedient to the Lord, that we tithe to him and to his work. And then there is church membership. Now, I've got to say that nowhere to my knowledge, and I've never known of it, and if you know of it, please let me know. I don't believe that anywhere in Scripture does it actually mention the word membership. However, it does mention the word fellowship, and fellowship in the Greek is koinonia. It's a special type of fellowship. It's holding something in common, so it's a special relationship that we have with one another because we are fellow believers in Christ. The word koinonia is mentioned 20 times in Scripture. I love this little saying. I'm sure you've seen it many times before. Church, C-H, and then blank, blank, C-H. What's missing? You are. We miss you when you're not here. It's not the same without you. Fellowship or church membership is all about belonging. It's all about believing in one another. It's standing with one another when times get tough. It's dwelling together in unity and like-mindedness and the assurance of Scripture. Folks, we are his membership. I was going to read out, but for time I'll not do it this morning. But there's a thing that I posted on Facebook this morning about us being God's workmanship. And so there will be a membership morning. Again, we'll give you more details to that. It will most likely be September, but again, we will firm up a date for that and for the baptismal service as well. Oh, that was the wee devotional that I put up, which we'll not touch on this morning. And then lastly, I'm very conscious of time this morning, evangelism, which is remembering his command, because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole of creation. And so we need to remember his command. And so the two big announcements that we've made this morning about the ladies' conference and about our mission month in September. It's all about us recognizing the absolute importance of evangelism. You know, it's lovely to come to church, and we encourage you to do that. That's what we're doing. That's what we're saying this morning. But it cannot be just a bless me club. It cannot be just that we come and that we just enjoy within these four walls. We've got to have to take the gospel. We've got to have to take it out beyond these walls. The reservoirs that vision that Desi was given by the Lord and shared with us this morning, we are those individual reservoirs that will need filled up with the Holy Spirit that we will then spill out into the community. And so that's why we need to have prayer and preparation before this mission month happens. Just as I bring the message to a close and hand back to Mark and the team, if you're out on Tuesday night at our encounter night, you will have heard a gentleman from Nepal, Bab, and he was talking about the testimony of how he and his family got saved, that one man, and he doesn't know who it is, because I asked him afterwards, one man made the journey to his village. And that one man gave one tract, a gospel tract, to his father. And his father discarded it and gave it to Bab. And Bab took the tract and he read it and he got saved. It was one decision. And now that man is serving God as the Elim leader in Nepal. They have planted 200 churches. One village alone has 500 people worshipping the Lord. Why? Because one man was obedient. And one man walked to one village and gave one tract to another man, and his son got saved. And there's 200 churches have been planted. When Esther and I were over at ELS, that's the Elim Leaders Summit, a few weeks ago, Chris Cartwright, who would be the general superintendent, opened up with his opening message, and he said, "It is time to sow again." Now, we as a leadership believe before we went that it was right to do the mission, but isn't it lovely to go and get that confirmation? And so that was the message that we very much brought back in our hearts. It's time to sow again. Folks, it's time for us to sow. There are people perishing outside of these walls. It's time for us to sow. And I'm going to leave you with one story, and then I'm going to hand over. It's called The Hitchhiker. Roger Sims was hitchhiking his way home, and he would never forget the date. It was May the 7th. His heavy suitcase made Roger tired. He was anxious to take off his army uniform once and for all. The hitchhiker saw an oncoming car, and he lost hope, and he saw it was a black, sleek Cadillac, and to his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger's door opened and he ran toward the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, thanked the handsome, well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat. "Going home for keeps?" "Sure I am," said Roger. "Well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago." "I'm not going quite that far. Do you live in Chicago?" The driver said, "I have a business there. My name is Hanover." After talking about many things, Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion to witness to this 50-something, apparently successful businessman about Christ. He kept putting it off until he realized that he was just 30 minutes from his home. It's now or it's never. So Roger cleared his throat. "Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important." He then proceeded to explain the way of salvation, ultimately asking if Mr. Hanover would like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought that he was going to be ejected from the car, but the businessman bowed his head and received Christ and thanked Roger. "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me." 5 years went by. Roger was married. He had a 2-year-old boy and a business of his own. Packing a suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he found the small white business card that Mr. Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up the Hanover Enterprises. A receptionist told him that it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a lady in her 50s. She extended her hand. "You knew my husband." Roger told her how her husband had given him a ride home when hitchhiking home after the war. "Can you tell me when that was?" "It was May the 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the army. Was there anything special about that day?" Roger hesitated. Should he mention about him giving his witness? Should he mention about his husband, her husband's decision? "Mrs. Hanover, I explained the gospel." He pulled over to the side of the road and he wept against the steering wheel. He gave his life to Christ that day. Mrs. Hanover began to cry. Getting a grip on herself, she sobbed, "I prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed that God would save him." "And," said Roger, "where is your husband, Mrs. Hanover?" "He's dead." She wept, struggling with words. "He was in a car crash after he left you out of the car. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word." Not powerful. One man speaking to another man, not knowing that eternity was literally minutes away. Folks, we've got to reach out. We've got to get filled up. We've got to preach the gospel. We've got to share our faith. We've got to get serious with God. Apologize for running on. I know there's Sunday school. Can we just pray and then I'll hand over to Mark. Thank you. Lord, we just pray that you would do something special in our hearts. Lord, we pray that, Lord, that you would change us. Lord, that you would fill us, that you would equip us. Lord, that you would give us, Lord, that urgency that we need, that urgency that we lack so often. Lord, we want to submit ourselves to you afresh this morning. In obedience to you. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it is that you want us to do, Lord, we lay our lives at your feet and we say, Lord, use us. Lord, use us on a daily basis. Use us, Lord, as we prepare for this mission in September, for the ladies' conference in January. Lord, we pray that many, many souls. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.